In just a couple of weeks, it'll be April. And this first quarter of the year will have already been done. And as the first Sunday is just a couple of weeks away, I've been thinking about how well do we blank lesson we're going to do. And Gary has picked at me about doing one called How Well Do You Remember? I've decided that as of tonight, I am not the person that needs to deliver that lesson. It's always a good thing to take home your notebook when you need to work on something at home. It's bad when you get to the building that evening and remember as you were going out the door, you said you didn't need that notebook, so you brought a different one, except for your sermon outline was in that notebook. And then you got to hope you can pull it up on the phone. Tonight we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, going on to the second lesson, because luckily I was able to pull it up. Because I'm one of those people that if my outline's not near me, I immediately forget everything that was on it. So, we will be able to do our next lesson this evening, though, but I have just decided, Gary, that I can't do that lesson. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 7 in starting a three-part lesson on Hebrews chapter 11. When we looked at it last week, we looked at three men, we looked at Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And we saw in those first seven verses that faith was explained. We understood what faith was. Faith was exemplified. You could see it through the actions of those. And faith was emphasized, especially in verse 6, which is sometimes called the theme of this chapter. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What we're looking at tonight is faith that embraces the promises, and then Lord willing, and an outline makes it here with me next week, we'll do faith that overcomes the world next week on Sunday night, and that will finish up our three-part series in Hebrews chapter 11. What our faith rests on and what our faith pertains to is the promises that are outlined in Scripture. The Hebrew writer talks about this in more than just chapter 11. He talks about it in chapter 4 when he is talking about we are warned not to fall short of what has been promised. He talks about it in chapter 6 about faith that along with patience is necessary to be able to inherit the promises. Tonight's part of the text is going to be verses 8 down through 22, so a much longer text than last week. What I want to do is I want to read the verses and then we'll come back and make some statements. What we're looking at, verses 8 down through 22, is we're looking at men under patriarchy. We're stopping just shy of the Mosaic Law. So we're going to do verses 8 through 22. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, and in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died with faith, without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. The first one we come to in the faith of the patriarchs in verse 8 is the faith of Abraham. By faith he obeyed. God called him to leave his country, and we've made this statement before. He's leaving everything he knows. If you remember back to our lessons about Ruth, it's something very similar here. Ruth left everything she knew. She left her family. She left her culture. She went to obey God. Abraham is being called upon to get out of his father's place, to get out of his own country, to get out of his area, and you go to this land that I'm going to show you. When Abraham sets out on his journey, he doesn't know where he's going. He's not been to this place. He's simply relying on the promise of God that God's going to care for him, God's going to take care of him. It's a good example of conviction, if you will, in things not seen. Having faith in those things that are not seen. Abram had not seen where he was going. Abram had no idea what was in store for him there. But he obediently followed. He obediently went. I want to ask you, is our faith obedient like Abraham's in that? Many times in Scripture, God calls on us to do things. He calls on us to do hard things, if you will. One of my favorite t-shirts that I have is from a fundraiser for a family who was adopting children. And it has just three statements on it. Love God, serve others, do hard things. Some of the things were commanded in Scripture, some of the things we're told to do, are considered hard. We don't know the result of them. We don't know how it's going to be if we stand up against those who are teaching false doctrine. We may lose friendships. We don't know how it's going to be for us to tell our bosses when we're not going to be involved in something immoral. We may lose our job that day. There's several things that go on in our life that we don't necessarily are able to see what the outcome is going to be. But we do them because we have faith in God. And we have faith in what He's giving us. None of us have peeked into the city of heaven. None of us have seen it with our own eyes. We are able to read some of the figurative language that's given about it. But we have no idea what it's going to be like. But yet we follow and we work by faith in things we've not seen. And so we're obedient, even if we may not can see it, just right on the horizon. Also, Abram here, by faith he sojourned, verses 9 and 10. His faith required him to live as a foreigner in a foreign country. Even though it was the land of promise, he and his descendants would be foreigners. They would not have it for another 430 years. He talks about, we talked about this morning, that the descendants were going to go down to Egypt. They'd be there for 400 years, then they'd come up out. In the fourth generation, they will return. Abram is living in a place that's not his, that's not his family's, and would not be for some time. He's a foreigner. But yet he went faithfully. He patiently waited for the city whose builder and ruler is God. There's similar language in the book of Revelation talking about the holy city, the New Jerusalem. The holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. Abram waited patiently for what would end up being a heavenly home, if you will. Abram was not going to be a resident of this great nation. But he's working by faith to be a part of something much greater. The promises of God being fulfilled. Our faith requires us to live in a foreign country, whether we think of it or not. We may have grown up in Dixon County. Some of you have been in Dixon County probably your whole life. If you're a Christian, you're a foreigner. No matter where you go, if you're a Christian, you're a foreigner. Because your home is heaven. And so you sojourn, you act like a pilgrim, you by faith go through life in this temporal place, awaiting for the eternal home that's coming. And by faith, verses 17 through 19, he offered up his son of promise. You all know the story of Abram. Sarah and Hagar get this plan going. They're going to speed up the process for God. And so Ishmael's born. Ishmael's not the son of promise. Later in her old age, Sarah will have Isaac. Isaac will be the son of promise. And then years later, God will require Isaac to be offered up. Here's Abram who's waited all this time. Has his son of promise and then is told to offer him. Could you do it? Abram understood the promises enough to know that if this is the son of promise, if this is who my descendants are going to be great from, if this is who will get the land, if this is who will be the great nation, then God can raise him up. That's what the Hebrew writer is talking about. And so by faith, he offers Isaac. And God then realizes that Abram is trusting in him fully. You want to talk about submitting to the will of God as we talked about this morning? Abram was submitting to the will of God. Then you look at the faith of Sarah in this chapter. By faith she received strength to conceive a child. She was beyond the normal age of childbearing. She was well advanced in years. She laughed when she first heard of God's promises that she would be the one to bear a son. But through her faith, the promises of a great nation were fulfilled. Faith requires looking to God for strength and trusting that He will provide. Sometimes we laugh at God. You read through the scriptures and you read that we're to go to our brother when they're in sin and we laugh and say, "Me? Me? No, I can't do that." Wednesday night we're going to have a lesson on "Sin the Light." What a beautiful song. And just like Brother Smithson said about servant song, we need to understand those words when we're singing them. Sometimes we laugh and think that I can have no bearing on sending the light somewhere. Because I'm not smart enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't have the connections. We need to work for God. Period. And trust in Him. And rely on Him. By faith, we must look to God to find grace in a time of need, as the Hebrew writer talks about back in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16. We need to be relying on God. Is our faith a receiving faith like Sarah? Philippians chapter 4. Do we receive instruction? Do we receive understanding of the promises and then react to them? Do we act on them? We've all been promised a home in heaven with God if we're faithful unto death. Let me tell you, that sounds so simple, but it's very complex. Because I've got to submit, I've got to work, I've got to serve, I've got to love, I've got to trust, I've got to speak, I've got to rebuke, I've got to correct, I've got to teach. I've got to learn. I've got to pray. I've got to sing. There's a lot involved. Do we understand that enough? That we walk by faith, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Then you go on in the chapter and you look at the faith of Isaac. He blessed Jacob and Esau regarding the things to come. What's being illustrated here is Isaac, by faith, embraced the promises. You remember that situation. Was Isaac deceived? Absolutely, Isaac was deceived by his wife and by his son. But he understood the promises enough to realize and have faith that it would work out. Then you have the faith of Jacob. He blessed his sons, the sons of Joseph, when he died. It involved the promises of God, showing how he too had embraced them. Here's a man who cheated his brother out of his birthright. And now at the time of his death, he understands the weight of the promises when he's blessing his descendants. You look at the faith of Joseph. He was dying. And he made mention that Israel was going to depart from Egypt. And he said, "Don't leave my bones here. Carry them with you out of Egypt." He didn't want to stay in a place where they were foreigners. He wanted to go home, if you will. He too had grasped the promises of God. And so, this is the faith of the patriarchs, then. But I want to look now for the last few moments, verses 13 through 16. If you notice, we kind of skipped over that because we stopped at 12 and then went down to 17. 13 through 16 is how their faith pleased God. I want to first say they embraced the promises, as we've been mentioning throughout all these individuals. They did not receive the promises. Some of them did not receive them. Well, none of them received them during their lifetime that we're discussing here. None of these individuals received the promise during their lifetime. But yet they embraced them and saw the promises of God and clinged to them, if you will. And relied on them and trusted in them. They freely confessed to be strangers and pilgrims. They were seeking a homeland, if you will. You notice that in verses 13 through 16, they are admitting that they are strangers. Verse 13, having confessed they're strangers and exiles on the earth. If I confess to you that I'm a foreigner, that means I'm looking for my homeland. Where I am is not home. It may somewhat feel like home one day, but it's not home. And so I'm looking for that. I'm looking for my home. They desired something better. That is the heavenly country, as the Hebrew writer says in his discourse here. Now look in verse 16. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He's prepared a city for them. This faith in which they admitted they were sojourners, admitted that they were pilgrims, admitted that they were exiles. In other words, they did not conform to the cultures around them. They did not act as if they were members of that culture. They freely admitted they were pilgrims and sojourners. By that, God was pleased by them. He had prepared a city for Him. That's what they're waiting for. And it's what we too are looking for. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, which we'll get to when we start back our class, that there is a new heaven, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Over in the book of Revelation, I want to say around chapter 21,
David and Paul can correct me when I'm over if I missed it. That's where you have the statement about the New Jerusalem. This holy and beautiful and great city. And you have this beautiful description of it. All these massive stones, all these high walls, all these great minerals. And whether or not it's figurative, what picture is being painted is the most beautiful place you've ever seen. Beauty beyond compare. Where every need is supplied. Where all you could ever need is there. That's the home we're journeying to. So do we have faith like the patriarchs? We sang a song just a moment ago, standing on the promises of God. Do we mean that? Do we believe that? Do we trust in that? Where are we setting our sights? On earthly things or on heavenly things? That determines where we're looking. What's more important to us? Having great wealth here or being home in heaven? Where are we looking? How are we walking? I mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5 just a moment ago. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You want to see some people walking by faith? Look at these patriarchs. At lunch today, we were talking about hitchhikers. Where people used to hitchhike. Nowadays, you'd be weary of stopping and letting someone into your car for fear that they might rob you or murder you or whatever it might be. But for many years, that wasn't so. For many years, people just picked someone up on the side of the road and took them on to the next city and next city to the next city. And let me tell you, that was sojourning by faith. There was no guarantee a car was going to stop and get them. So they might walk 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 miles before they found a car that was going to pick them up and take them part of the journey. And most of the time, if they were trying to get from one state, say, to another state, they didn't get the one person to take them the whole way. This person would take them a little while and say, alright, I'm getting off here. And they'd get out. They might have to walk a few more miles before another car come along that'd be willing to take them. Do you see some similarities to the idea of sojourning by faith? You look at these people in the Old Testament. They've not driven the inhabitants out of the land of Canaan. It's not their land yet. They've not been made a great people. They're not a great nation. When they're around however many people it is when they're going down to Egypt, what was it, 70? I may have that all wrong. When there were 70 that went down into Egypt, that's not a great number of people. Oh, they became a great number of people while they were in Egypt to the point that the Egyptians taxed them harder. But they still weren't a great people because they're under bondage. They're slaves, if you will. These men and women we're talking about this evening were not a great nation, had not received the land, and the whole nations of the earth had not been blessed through them yet. The seed promise had not come. And yet, what do you see in all of them? Oh, you see people that messed up along the way. Look at Judah, one of Joseph's brothers. He's not mentioned in this passage here. But look at Judah in his dealings with his brother. Look at Judah in his dealings with Tamar. Then look at Judah and his dealings with his brother the second time around. And now look at who's the one that's blessed by their father. The scepter will not depart from Judah. These are individuals who are relying and trusting on things they have not seen. There's some great lessons there for us that we could talk about all night. But it'd just be reiterating the same point. We trust in God, though we've not seen Him, because we believe He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Verse 6 of chapter 11. What type of faith do you have tonight? Are you able to sing the song, "I'm standing on the promises of God"? Can you sing that with a true heart? Full of love? Full of understanding? And full of submission? There's much work to do. All we need is people who are willing and able to do it. How are you tonight? Do you need to obey the gospel? Do you need to render yourself obedient to God? Do you need to make your life right? Maybe you're not relying on the promises. Let me tell you, worry is a five-letter word that ought to be one of those four-letter words. Because it will destroy you. It will take you away from God. We need to be relying on His promises. If we can help you in any way this evening, we'd love to. If you'll come forward now as we stand and as we sing the psalm that's been selected. Thank you.